We on? Good. Good to see we're on. Okay, we'll keep your Bibles open to John chapter 11 there. We'll be looking at this amazing story. And you can follow along in your booklets there on page 12, talk 3. Let's pray as we start. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would give us our minds that would understand your word today. And we pray that as we understand it, it would go to our hearts, it would change us deep down, and it would affect what we do with our hands. We ask, Lord, that you would do all this for the sake of your Son. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In October last year, one of my best mates was killed. His name was Tim, and he'd recently just turned 25 years old. He was one of the most happy and loving Christian guys I knew. He was travelling home from a friend's party one night, and his car was hit side-on by a vehicle that had run a red light. The three 16-year-olds who were driving the stolen vehicle were unharmed, but my friend Tim was killed instantly. I got a phone call that morning at 6 a.m. from his dad, simply saying, "Tim's dead." And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was an absolutely horrendous situation. Horrendous situation. And a week later, through tears, as his minister, I buried my mate. It's not the most pleasant way to begin our last talk, is it? Death is not the most enjoyable topic to speak about, but it stares us in the face wherever we go. As teenagers, it can be normal to feel indestructible, that death is never coming for you. But that quickly begins to fade as you experience people you know and love die. The older you get, the more dead people you know. The older you get, the more the reality of your own death looms over you. And death doesn't play favourites. Death doesn't care about how much money you have, or how important you are, or how smart you are, or how fit you are, or how good you are. According to the most recent statistics, the death rate hovers at about 100%. Death is for all. As we began our first talk, you might remember me saying that I was speaking as a dying man to dying people. This was not an exaggeration. You and I are dying. And in 100 years' time, everyone in this room will be dead. It forces us to ask the question, what can be done about death? Can anything be done about death? Well, thankfully, God isn't silent about death. He actually speaks about death quite often. And instead of getting us to worry about it, he gives us hope in death. We read in the Bible that in Jesus we can have hope beyond the grave. In Jesus we can have eternal life. Well, following along from John chapter 11, verse 1 and point 1 in your booklets there, the sick man and the desperate request. Well, we enter the story today at the bedside of a very unwell man named Lazarus. He's got two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they're caring for him, but he's getting sicker by the day. This worry and anxiety are starting to creep in. His family are good friends with Jesus, who is the known healer of the sick. And because of the threats made against him, Jesus has been run out of town. He's staying a day or so's walk away with his disciples. As Lazarus gets sicker, his sisters send messengers for Jesus immediately. They're getting desperate. Jesus is their only hope. But as Jesus gets the message, I wonder if you noticed that in the story he responds in a very strange way, actually in two very strange ways. Firstly, he says, verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death." Now, that's a strange comment for Jesus to make, isn't it? Not has he only not seen him or have any of his medical files. Later on, we see that Lazarus actually dies. What's going on here? Does Jesus get it wrong? Does he make a bad call? Well, no, he doesn't. As the story continues, we start to see that death doesn't always mean death. Death doesn't always mean death. Now, that sounds like a strange thing to say, but hear me out. Jesus is speaking on a number of different levels here, and without wanting to get too technical, Jesus uses this word death to refer to three different types of death. You'll see three lines in your booklets there. The three different types are physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. The physical death is the one that you all know. This is where the body stops living. All of us will die this death one day. Physical death. Spiritual death, on the other hand, is the same as saying that you're not spiritually alive. Spiritual life comes from Jesus. It comes from his spirit. We saw in the first talk this living water living inside you. Spiritual death means having no spiritual life. And finally, if you have no spiritual life, when you die physically, you'll experience the third type of death. Eternal death. Death forever. Now that's a bit heavy, isn't it? But it'll make more sense as we keep going in the story. The point is, when Jesus strangely says that Lazarus' sickness will not end in death, he is not saying he will not physically die. That's not what he's saying, even though it's probably what the disciples are thinking. Instead, he is saying that physical death will not be his end. His physical death will not be the end. With Jesus, there is hope. With Jesus, death doesn't always mean death. Point two. The second reason Jesus' response is quite strange is that although he realizes that Lazarus is really unwell, he doesn't come immediately, does he? What does he do? Verse 6, he stayed where he was for two more days. Now, if we've been reading John's Gospel up to this point, and you get up to chapter 11, we know that Jesus could heal Lazarus right there on the spot. He's been healing random people all over the place. But instead of coming and healing his friend Lazarus, he just waits around until Lazarus has died and been placed in a tomb. Why? Why not go and heal him? Wouldn't that have caused much less distress for everyone, especially his friends? Wouldn't that have been better for everyone? Again, the answer is no. I don't know if you've had anyone close to you die, maybe a parent or a sibling, a friend. If so, you'll know the devastation that it causes. When I went up to Tim's parents' place the morning I found out he'd been killed, I don't think I've ever seen such heartache. I stayed with the family all day just wondering what to say to his grieving parents. And there's nothing you can say. His mum, who was always full of life, just looked like a shell of a woman. Just empty on the inside, nothing but heartache. And I would have given anything to end their pain. I would have given absolutely anything. If I could, I would have taken it away right there and then. But Jesus is far more loving than me. So why doesn't he come at once and heal Lazarus when it's causing them so much distress? His sisters cry out to Jesus, verse 21, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died." They just don't understand why Jesus would let him die. For us too, it can be hard to understand why God acts in certain ways, at certain times, especially when it comes to the death of a loved one. Tim's parents were constantly asking, and are still asking me to this day, why? Why would God take him? And I have no answer for them. I still don't know, and maybe I never will. But what I do know is that with Jesus, death doesn't always mean death. And I know that because of who Jesus is. And he tells us who he is in our passage today. Point three. Jesus is not just the healer of the sick, but he is the one in charge of life and death. He is the one in charge of eternal life and eternal death. Jesus says, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You know, what a statement. What a statement for someone to make. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's the one who brings life to the dead. The one who controls life and death. In Jesus, death dies, is what he is saying. For the one who trusts in Jesus, death has lost its victory. Death has lost its sting. Because everyone who believes in him shall never really die. He says, if you believe in me, you are made spiritually alive. And as a result, you will never experience real death, eternal death. Instead, your physical death is just a gateway to eternity with him. You may be thinking, though, how do we know that Jesus is telling the truth? How do we know that Jesus is telling the truth? He asks for our life. He asks for everything. How do we know that by trusting in him, I will never really die? Good questions, aren't they? How do you know? Well, you know because of what happens next. Verse 38. Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus and he asks for the stone to be rolled away. His sisters don't want the tomb open because they say by this time there'll be an odor. He's been in there for 4 days. His body is starting to decompose. The stench of death is on him. Or as the King James Bible puts it, but Lord, he stinketh. But Jesus says to her, verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The smell should not be the focus, Jesus says. Watch, for this is how you can know that by trusting in me, you will never really die. As the stone is rolled away, Jesus commands in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus comes out. Jesus' voice, the voice of life, the voice that had created life in the very beginning, commands life again. The voice of authority commands and death listens. Death listens to Jesus. Lazarus has been risen from the dead. Jesus waits the few days to go and see Lazarus so that he could show them who he really is and show him what power he really has. Jesus is no mere healer. He is the resurrection and the life, the one who can raise the dead. But if we had the end of Lazarus' story, we would know that he physically dies again. We don't get it in this story, but he does. He dies. Jesus raising him from the dead was only physical. It's only temporary. What Jesus was showing was only a shadow of the real reality that he came to bring. Yeah, I wonder if you find it strange that when Jesus came, he didn't normally go around raising people from the dead. He obviously had the power to do it. He could do it wherever he wanted. He could do it just by speaking, but he doesn't. Why doesn't he? Well, as amazing as this was, Jesus had more amazing work to do. He didn't come to raise people to physical life, but to bring them to spiritual life for eternity. That was his purpose in coming. Physically raising people was showing you that he had the power to do it. How is he going to do this? Bring people to spiritual life for eternity? Well, it was through a gracious trade. You see, despite God creating the world good, loving us and graciously ruling over us from the beginning, we humans decided we wanted to be our own God. We wanted to be able to choose the best way for us to live, not God's way, but our way. So we ignored him. We turned our backs to him. This is what the Bible calls sin, and this broke God's heart. His own children running away from him. But not only that, since God is the source of all life, turning our backs on him is turning our backs on life. Sin brings us death, physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. Sin destroys our relationships with each other. It destroys our relationship with God. It separates us from God. It separates us from life. And we can't simply say, "Sorry, God," and have life again, since sin always brings death. There must be death. But here is the gracious trade. Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God, is sent into the world to live the perfect life, then to die the perfect death that we earned, the death that we deserved. Jesus gets our death and its separation from God, and we get his perfect life credited to us. So much so that when God looks at those who trust in Jesus, he no longer sees you as guilty sinners, because that sin has been paid for. Instead, he sees you as forgiven, loved children, blameless in his sight. Jesus chooses to die so that all who trust in him can have life, eternal life. What amazing love, what a gracious trade. But although Jesus dies, you may know he doesn't stay dead. Death could not hold Jesus down. His payment for sin is accepted by God. He rises to life like we will also rise. He rises to rule over all as King of eternity. He is the resurrection and the life, he says, and he proves it to us. Do you believe this? The most important question you will ever answer, do you believe this? Do you trust in Jesus, the one who conquers death and brings life? This is a life and death decision. Do you trust in Jesus? When Tim's parents and I were choosing the songs to sing at his funeral service, we discussed various options of what we could sing, but still weren't sure. As we were speaking, one of his brothers walked into Tim's bedroom, only to find a few song lyrics Tim had recently pinned to his wall. His mum said it was in the past week. But Tim didn't just pin them on them. On some of them, he had highlighted words that were particularly important to him. Tim highlighted these words from the song "In Christ Alone" that were on his wall the day he died. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Tim was convinced that through trusting in Jesus, he had eternal life and that he would go to be with him when he died. This is why Tim could face his coming death with hope. Point four. Death's not the most pleasant topic to speak about, is it? But we need it because it comes to all. Make no mistake, if you're not spiritually alive, you're going to be eternally dead. Eternally separated from everything good from God. If this is you, do something about it today. Death waits for no one. Do it today. Talk to me or one of your leaders to find out more. This weekend we've been speaking of this Jesus, the one who is the key to life. His amazing love for us. He is the Christ who offers you grace, the Son of God who offers you friendship, the Lord who offers you life. Don't put it off any longer. Receive Jesus today. I'm going to finish today with this story. It just so happened that on the night before Tim died, we had Bible study. He was part of our young adults Bible study. And we're reading with a couple of others a passage from the Bible in Romans 3, 21 to 26. It's about what Jesus had done for us on the cross. And at the end of the night, when we're thinking about what the application for us should be, as in what should we do as a result of what we've read, someone in the group said, oh, we should trust in Jesus. And someone else just said, oh, that's such a Sunday school answer. And then Tim piped up, and one of the last words he ever said to me, yes, but it's true. But it's true. It may be a Sunday school answer, but it's true. Trust in Jesus. The next day, Tim went to be with his Lord for eternity. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Lord who offers us life. We know we come to you so undeserving, so unworthy, but you offer us life in Jesus because of what he has already done for us. Help us to trust in him as our only hope in life and death. We pray that you would do this for us. In his name we pray. Amen.